Hey everyone, Exertion here. For some reason you tuned in for Thorin's YouTube channel. I'm not really sure why, but enjoy.
Now it might feel like cheating to enjoy delicious gamer subs because it's sugar-free, yet it tastes great. It has all kinds of flavours, but it doesn't taste chemically. And it fully dissolves away. It doesn't have all that filler that the other brands do. But it's not cheating. It's legit, and I can confirm as much. Almost as legit as saving 10% on your purchase with my code Thorin at gamersubs.gg on any of their products. Face it. There'll be no crying you're tired if you have some gamer subs. By the way, I also could have done a bunch of other puns there. I could have done a, you know, Cooper 38 with what he said. Well, RE Cooper 8 with your energy via gamer subs. There's a bunch of angles we could have gone with that on, isn't there? By the way, I also have other sponsors. If you ever want to find out what they are, check out my pinned tweet on X. You'll always see something in there, won't you? Now, No Cries is a player who resides in North America and was putting up big numbers, so he was accused, guess what, of cheating, including, by the way, by some streamers, semi-pros, influencers, content creators, the usual mob. And so Faceit decided to reach out to him and mirror their famed Rops PR stunt and invite him to their offices. Obviously, in 2017, they invited Rops to their offices. He played well on there and showed that on Faceit he could do similar things. And then he eventually got picked up. He went to Mouse and very quickly they became a top team, didn't they? They actually won ESG Mykonos pretty early on. So this time, it's obviously the NA offices, not the ones in London from when Faceit used to be a European company, because they obviously merged with like ESL and then ESEA, didn't they? So he went to the NA offices so he could show and play that he's a good player. And in a legit setting is obviously the key aspect. Now, I haven't watched him play. That's not what this video is going to be about. It's not a video where I'm going to show you his clips in DTR now. In fact, I'll get into why that's not even a question any of us can answer. But I am told he had some good games, that he started a bit dodgy, then people went crazy and said he was awesome after like 7 games, which isn't a big enough sample size. And then initially, maybe he was AWPing more than he rifled online. So there was all this nonsense. But people tell me now he's played enough games and they've seen enough and he's done enough things that look like what he did at home online as the No Cries account that now people think, right, okay, he's legit. He must be a good player at a minimum. So as a result, I would say most people now say he has proven he is not a cheater, or even worse, he has proven he is innocent. So as a result, now people actually are speculating, not does he cheat, they're speculating, is he going to enter the pro scene? Should he be in the pro scene? He's been invited to NAFPL, apparently accepted the invite, so in theory now he'll be playing with NA pros, etc. Now, a lot of people, as it seems like, a past the notion he cheats. And by the way, this video isn't going to be about does he cheat. This is also a topic, by the way, but the time you see this video on YouTube, there will be a Hot Take Point Made episode out where Maui has a take about what he thinks about the potential pro career of No Cries. And we actually discuss some of these things, but not in as much detail. And obviously I have people interrupting me and or making their points. So let's get into it. Let's just start and set the table. Why did people think he cheated? Well, why do people ever think someone cheats who is good? It's usually that you're too good, right? The premise went, he's too good, he's winning a bazillion games in a row, he's putting up crazy numbers, but he's a nobody. So going off other people's words, because they're the ones that were making the accusations, he's just too good, isn't he? These numbers aren't possible. Who the fuck is this guy? It's all the usual classic things that people ask. Now, people tell me, oh, he would kill people through smokes, and which, by the way, is a classic cheat. Obviously, if you have the wall hack or the aim key, you kill someone through the smoke, and you just say you were spraying or whatever. Then they said, oh, he's hitting crazy one-taps. His spray is insane. Well, that could be some form of aimbot or aim assist, obviously. Then there was all the sort of circumstantial weird parts, right? Like people said he would play really early hours in NA as if to avoid the super legit top level players who play in the evening and the night, obviously, and farm bad players and noobs. So even that makes it seem like even if he's not cheating, maybe he's just like boosting his stats by playing at bad times, etc. But it is weird. If you're a noob, think of the people who only play matchmaking on specific maps. And so they get like a decent rank, but they're not playing on like the tactical maps or the maps you have to know the smokes for, etc., etc., or they're just playing the classic Mirage and Dust 2 all day long. Now, obviously, another circumstantial problem here, it's a classic problem if someone gets accused of cheating, is the notion he's a literal nobody, isn't he? There's a nobody breaking out and not just becoming like, hey, he's decent, like, what the fuck? This would already be the best unknown NA player. It's all that, isn't it? And then people say, this is what Maui told me, that originally he started with a bunch of losses, then suddenly became insane and was just winning like every game and with crazy numbers. So then people also got curious about his background, right? The story went, oh, he's like Mongolian or something. Now, already just as a weird happenstance. That sounds a bit too convenient, doesn't it? Because it's like Mongols, the major finalists, and then winners of AWC and like a non-stop playoff team this year. They're actually ranked like number one on some sites now. They, and top two, they all of a sudden became relevant last year and then became really good this year. And so this year, you know there's an amazing Mongolian player. He's called Senzu. He's one of the best players in the world. So all of a sudden, a region that was completely irrelevant in CS history, outside of like Oceania miners in CSGO, suddenly has what could be one of the best NA region players. I mean, that just sounds like a nonsense story, right? A narrative that just is like, where did that come from? Then also, there was this thing where supposedly when people went back on his account, he had loads of games before that where he's playing with Russians. And so then people are like, is this a Russian pretending to be Mongolian? And he's just moved to the US and now he's like playing easier people at bad hours. And he was like a decent player in Russia. Well, obviously, the CIS region has an insane talent pool that goes way beyond the players you know, even in tier 2 and tier 3. Well, then it goes, oh, supposedly he did live there, but he's like ethnically Mongolian. By the way, if you don't know, Russians also, because there's a bazillion of them, and they always play with like Europeans and people that they sometimes couldn't speak the same language as, they are notorious that like there's loads of cheaters there because there's loads of them, isn't there? And in fact, some famous Russian pros, shout out Sally one time from Virtus.pro, have actually been banned by like, I think ESL or whatever, for cheating, by the way. That has happened. Then there's the whole thing of like, oh, so wait, he's Mongolian, but he played in Russia and now he lives in NA. Like, look, that's not like you're guilty because of that, but it just sounds weird, doesn't it? It's a fucking bizarre origin story. It's certainly strange, certainly curious, isn't it? Then a classic problem. By the way, this guy checked every box of the suspicious people, I've got to say. He dodged the land, supposedly. The most notorious excuse for online cheaters is, I'm going to be at this LAN. Everyone, I want to see you at that LAN. Let's see how good you are at that LAN. See you at LAN, bro. Which, by the way, does imply you beat him up sometimes even. So supposedly he was going to attend one of the Fragville LANs. And then he couldn't last minute due to a family emergency. Now, listen, if you're a normal player, family emergency, we don't ask questions about that. If that's true, we can't know. Of course, that's a good excuse to miss something. But in this case, that is a classic thing that cheaters have said. And they notoriously do it like this, right before the LAN. They don't go, sorry, guys, I can't attend the LAN at all. I won't even. They go, like, what happens is they sound like they're going to go there. They say they're going to go there, maybe to get the heat off their back. And then one day, 2 days before, they go, oh, you won't believe it, guys. My grandma has died. Or, oh, wow, my brother is ill. Or, oh, I've come down with a bit of a cold. I don't think I can make it. If you don't know, I'm not even talking about no cries. There was a guy in the German scene. He actually played for SK Gaming, the site I wrote for at the time, in CS Source, called Tornado Tony. And I would have to write these news posts about how their team was doing in the online, like, EPS or whatever. And this guy would be carrying in every screenshot. I was like, who the fuck is this? I've never heard of this guy, even in Source. I knew who the top players were. And then people were telling me, nah, yeah, no one really knows if he's legit. Then when the LAN came, magically, like, he couldn't attend. And we just had to use some fifth player. And it was like, mate, come on. And by the way, Germans also have a notorious history with cheating in their scene. So the reason why people, if they cheat, would skip the LAN is because you're not even just going to play the LAN match and then have people watch the demo, mate. They're going to go, if they think you cheat, and stand behind you and watch all your mouse movements and all your crosshair placement and look for anything suspicious when you're setting your PC up or on the screen as a visual clue when you're playing. And then if you play really well, by the way, looks like the face example, they're going to go, oh, you're legit, it's fine. Even if it's a BYOC LAN, by the way. And even then, if you get your PC to a BYOC LAN, what if some nutter tries, like, let me search your PC, or who the fuck knows? So, look, it's not like it's implausible. You'd also skip it because you're too much pressure. But here's the issue. There's then a secondary detail which makes that claim suddenly sort of comes into question. If you go, I've got a family emergency, I can't play. Okay, fine. Okay, that's fine. Let's see at the next time what happens. Will there be an emergency? If there isn't, then there's no issue, right? The issue is people then claim that he said because of the emergency he had to like travel. I think someone said travel to Miami or something. But then actually on the day of the LAN, he was just playing tons of games on the account again. So that makes it look like, one, you're not very intelligent. And two, well, what's going on here, mate? What's the answer to the story? And by the way, I will notice in all these cases, it doesn't ever seem like this guy went out of his way to actually like communicate or message what was going on or dispel people's. He doesn't have to, by the way. He's not obliged to at all. I will just say, though, it will sort of smooth your path to actually becoming legit or accepted or respected or a pro, though. So, yeah, you know what? If you have to, without watching the demos, build some sort of a narrative or circumstantial case that like, this might be someone to look into. Yeah, that sounds fishy. That sounds shady. of course it's circumstantial. You would never convict someone based on that. But you know what? Patterns of behavior do exist, and they can't simply be ignored or hand-waved. And this is actually, as I said, if you had a bingo card of classic things before the actual anti-cheat banned someone, or an admin used to back in the day, that people would go through, this is the classic checklist of, at the end, the guy ends up being a cheater. Now, the obvious problem here isn't that he was just good, is it? It's that online he was too good, as people said. Not simply good, not simply promising. And so that actually also, if you want to talk circumstantially in terms of what the likelihood is, that also makes it reasonable to consider, does that person cheat? And nobody comes out of nowhere with a weird backstory, won't go to a LAN, is still playing, plays at weird hours, doesn't go out of their way to even sort of address anything that's going on, and then is just like a prodigy out of nowhere. Right, it's extremely rare you ever get prodigy players from any region. By definition, that's why they're prodigies. It's incredibly rare. It's essentially an outlier case. The normal pattern, it would exclude the outlier. So the prodigy would be the outlier. So it means basically they either cheat or they're fucking insane, because the normal players are in the reasonable distribution, the normal distribution of the pattern. And then what happens is within that, if you play within that bounds, we'll probably say you won't cheat. You could just be really good. But if you're an outlier, you probably either cheat or you're insane at the game. It's going to be one or the other, right? Both in theory, quite unlikely, at least in terms of getting away with it, right? So I don't think when you add in the story, it's unreasonable that people are like, hey, what's going on here? Or I want answers. Or I want to see this guy at a LAN. Or in this case, they didn't know necessarily Facebook was going to invite him, but why not play at the Facebook offices? Now, people always cite two cases of pro players. One is the aforementioned Rops. And always use it retconning that you're a moron if you ever suspect these players are cheating. And those two players are Ziwu, who has been the number one player in Counter-Strike on a number of years, and is a two-time major winner and MVP. And Rops, who is obviously one of the like better players in Europe of the last 10 years, isn't he? He's one of the best riflers we've ever seen in CSGO and CS2. Now, in case of Rops, because he was the one that went to the Faceit offices, he was a nobody who was suddenly on Faceit, insane with his game sense of winning clutches versus the best EU pros. It looked as if, as well, like he was looking to the side all the time while winning these clutches, which made people think, oh, he's just got a radar hack on the second monitor. Or he's got some sort of weird feed or something that he's got over there that he's looking at and he can see. And that's what's triggering him off, that he can win this 1v1 this way. That's why he's checking over there. Remember that guy from that team, Akuma or whatever it was, in the CIS RMR in 2021, where they were murking fucking Simple and Na'Vi because some guy was looking up. Was it the DemQQ guy? I can't remember. Just looking up like that, and then people just assumed there was a monitor there, a radar hack, or a phone above the PC, and we couldn't see from that angle on the, I think it was StarLadder. Actually, no, it was maybe Epic, actually. I forget who ran that RMR. But yeah, basically, obviously, Rops went to the Faceit offices, played well, and went on to be, not just a good pro, but one of the best ever, and at what? Game sense, winning clutches and having impossible timing intuitively in the game with no triggers from the game, seemingly to mere mortals like us. Guess what? That means they were right in a way that, like, this is too good. He'd basically have to either be cheating, an outlier, or he's just fucking insane. And what are the odds? This random kid from Estonia is insane. It turns out there was one. There hasn't been another ever, by the way, but there was one. Similarly with Ziwu. Ziwa was already an insane prospect that people don't know in like 2018. If you go back to then with Against All Authority, which is a classic French org from the old school days, if people don't know, and on Faceit, he was already bonkers. If you ever watched the clips, you're like, who the fuck is this? And so the story went, he even had his own weird circumstantial one. Oh, he has to finish school, so he actually can't go pro yet, I'm afraid. Like, I've actually had stories on my reflections of people saying they tried to get him to join their team before he joined what later became Vitality. It was initially called Mercenary. Late 2018, like, there was one from Chet from NRG, their coach, I'm a pet, where he wanted him to join, I can't remember if it was actually the Optic. Maybe it was like the Optic mixed team when they had like Alo and Magisk and Freiburg, or maybe it was NRG, I forget which one, early NRG perhaps. Now, by the way, that in itself is a classic for Sheik. He says, oh, I'm too young, my mum won't let me go to the LAN. Oh, sorry, I can't be pro, I've got to finish my exams. Now, I can tell you, Eastern European players, I've seen they just fucking drop school immediately as soon as they can make like $500 from the game, mate, because that is mega bucks over there as a salary, isn't it? Then there was the clips. If you ever saw the Ziwu clips, even from 2018, I don't know if there's a fragment. He was bonkers, bro. He really was nuts already. Like, he didn't warm up. He was already insane. And Think about what he had. He had perfect movement. Crosshair placement was unreal. He was winning impossible rounds. His aim was fucking nutty, but really smooth as well. Right, I can tell you, I showed some of those clips before he ever joined top-level pro CS to other pro players that you would respect and would be in a Hall of Fame, and they told me the line I've already referenced because it's a key concept. He either cheats, they actually thought he did, or he's the best player ever, is what they would say. Well, the joke is, some people now do think he's the best player ever, and he had one of the best rookie years ever. And so, it could also be cheating for all we know, but the point is, in theory, yes, it was either he cheats or he's the best player ever. Best player ever is very unlikely, cheating more likely, but it turned out he was the rare outlier, wasn't he? So that's why when people dunk on you, like, oh, you thought he was cheating. Hey, he thought that maybe Rops could be cheating. Who the fuck are you? A moron or something? Think it through. Think through the what's likely. And by the way, supposedly the story goes, G2 wanted to pick him up that year because that was when they had all the problems with the super team and they switched eventually. They initially gave like NBK and Apex that time to do the run with Mixwell, if you remember. Didn't go well. Then they switched over and they gave it to Shox and Existence and Smiths, and that weird roster that wasn't really that good either. The odd run like Cologne or whatever. Almost got out the Swiss at the major, but wasn't particularly good. So they were desperate for a star player. Shox had fallen off to become an IGL. Kenny S just wasn't as motivated in the game at the time, was hit and miss. They could have had a player like Zebu, and remember, he was a hybrid back then. He could have rifled. You'd think they'd snap him up, right? They needed new French players. It was a French team at the time, at least French speaking. So, like I say, what did he turn out to be? It's what they said. They were right and wrong. It's extremely rare that you get players like Rops and Zebu. Especially out of nowhere, obviously. And it's entirely reasonable to be suspicious or want them to play in a semi-legit or legit environment, right? Remember, these are players that come out in a thing. It's not like they work their way up from like the bottom levels and competitively show themselves. They just come out of nowhere in an open environment where there's no consequences to cheating beyond getting banned, right? And if you just have an alias who even knows who the fuck you are, you could come back a million times over. By the way, just to throw it out there, to show how prodigies will nearly always be accused of cheating, Simple himself had a weird thing from people say 1.6 or CSGO. He tried to address it in my interview with him, but I don't know if he told the truth or not, where he got a ban from ESL Wire or whatever and then tried to evade it and got the ban extended. And he had a clip early on in, I think it was the EMS Katowice 2014 major, the second major qualifier, where he was playing with, I think it might even have been that team or whatever the team that became Flipside with Blade was. And he had a clip with the P2000 where he did like an ace or something like that from like, you know, short at the top of long A on Dust 2 to people coming out the catwalk where he just like tapped them all in the head with the P2000, which wasn't even the gun that many people used back then, by the way. And it was so bonkers. I remember seeing the thread on ESL. Everyone was like, he's fucking cheating. It's obviously cheating. No one can be that good. He was a random nobody Ukrainian guy. Oh, what the hell? He's cheating in the past. Must definitely be cheating. Yeah, well, you know what? It turned out that's actually the greatest player to ever play Counter-Strike, or maybe esports. So yeah, I don't blame you for thinking it. Who the fuck was he? Turned out actually the fucking Kwisatz Haderach in it. So then let's consider another reason this has been so much drama is because he's playing on the NA server. NA is so desperate to have a prodigy in Counter-Strike. The closest they have come in recent history, you'd have to go all the way back to, like, depends how generous I'm being, I would probably say back to Twists. You'd probably have to go back to that sort of a period, like 2016 kind of period of time. 2015, 2016, where he was just some young kid with crazy aim. Like, Breezy was an extremely good player. I don't know that he was a prodigy. Then you, before that, you are looking at people like, I mean, Nath, but it wasn't even a prodigy. It took him years to get cooking. Elige had a year or two where he was just not even that great on LAN. Then he got insane after that. Like, you'd probably have to go back to a Twist. I think Twist mechanically could qualify as a prodigy at that time. And what's the reason why they haven't had prodigies since? Well, I'll tell you one obvious reason. The player base doesn't play CS anymore. They play Valorant primarily. Some people would have been drawn away by Overwatch. Some people will never get to CS because they just play League, or Fortnite is obviously the one that all the kids were playing like 8 years ago. PUBG was massive 8-9 years ago. All these games exist to draw away talent so that actually the joke is the best NA CS players of what should have been CS2 and late CSGO just probably were in those games. They probably were the people who were just mega at Valorant or Fortnite or PUBG, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so as a result, this gives an extra impetus that people want to believe and are obsessed with the notion that if there's actually a stud NA prodigy, well, now imagine you got him on Team Liquid and made it NA again. Or you put him on the equivalent of what was Complexity before with an Elige and someone and Stanislaw or something. Fucking hell, then we could cook then in his back, baby. That's what people are thinking about, right? And then also, let's be real. If Rops had not been good at the Faceit offices, it wouldn't really have mattered at the time. Like, there were already loads of European top players. In fact, Europe was the best region back then. And it was like 2 years after that, by the way, that he became a top 10 type player in CS. Took him a while to really get going. So the difference is, in NA, if this guy's a prodigy, you have to want to know if he's legit. You have to want to know if he could turn pro, and you have to go, do you want to turn pro? And hopefully he gives it a chance, right? Because you need that talent. You don't have them right now. Then there's the whole thing with the face it offices, right? So obviously the ROPS angle, because of what happened, convinces people this is some ironclad method that proves that since ROPS went on to be a very good player and did the things that he was doing at home, that means he didn't cheat, and now we know that he was legit the whole time. That's actually a bunch of logical fallacies and errors, by the way, but I'll get to that in a second. Now, first of all, we're already making assumptions like that we're assuming and trusting that they actually made sure the PC was never tampered with. It's all legit. Look, I don't have a reason to believe otherwise. I think it would be crazy to do this and be scandalous if it turned out it wasn't the case, but we're not there checking it all. We're just assuming this means, like, because he's being watched and because people are taking photos of him, people are watching him, that this means he's legit. In the case of ROPS, by the way, the key thing was, as I said, that he was known for insane games as a clutching. So when he could do that on someone else's PC while observed, it suggested that he probably doesn't cheat, and either way, he could be a pro anyway, couldn't he? As long as no one could cheat at LAN and use whatever cheat. We can't technically ever know if ROPS cheated. Again, I will philosophically address this in a minute. I'll even point out something I said on Hot Take Point Made. You could actually argue, since we've now seen this happen with a couple of key cases, if you are some insane talent, you might actually be better served, no joke, if you want to go pro, not going through an academy team and working your way through tier 4. You actually could use this method. You could actually be insane, cheat as well at home, so you're so bonkers, everyone wants you to get invited. You go to the face at offices, you play normally without cheats and you're awesome, and then get really quickly fast-tracked to a top team. Obviously, for ethical reasons and moral reasons, I would say don't do that. I think that's an inadvisable way to do it. But I will say, I don't know that you'd ever get caught. It feels like to get the attention initially and then show you're legit would actually be an interesting marketing approach, wouldn't it? So he went out to the face at offices, as we can see here. They had this picture first, where it was like, we're reviewing your review, because Cooper, brother of Freakazoid, semi-pro player, he was talking about how he's going to watch the demos. So first of all, we got this picture from behind of him watching Cooper's review of his games. Then after that, we got this where, because it had all gone well, he was invited to trial in FPL and he accepted. We get a final, we get a face, we get to see who he is. Certainly appears Mongolian. Now, on the topic of cheating, this is already where we're going to have to break some things down. Cheating is so much more complicated than casuals understand or realize. This actually reminds me of one of my classic original Thorin's Thoughts videos very early on this channel that was about the Kaylee incident where he got literally VAC banned at a boot camp before like DreamHack Winter 2014 Major. And it's one I've thought about a lot philosophically, especially because as a journalist, I have to think through all the angles of what can I say? What should you say? What accusations can you make? How do we determine guilt, etc.? Now, first of all, let's just put it out there. There are so many more cheats than people think. People think there's a pure aimbot that just you press a key and it instantly shoots the person in the head. Or it has no recoil and you can just always aim straight to the head with the aimbot. Or the other classic one is they think it's a wall hack and you see through the walls every player on the map. And in fact, in the old days, as I mentioned in that video, you would even have people with like a girder through their body flashing all colours to attract your eye, almost like one of those Quake skins to where it would make it look all luminescent so you had great visibility of where they were. That's not the cheats anyone's using in the modern day trying to go pro and be at the top level, because they'd be too blatant and it just, there wouldn't be even, and also I just don't think anyone who'd use those cheats would ever become a top player. It'd just be stupid. So first of all, there are things like aim assist. Now, anyone who's played a COD game on a console with a controller knows you can't actually aim as well with a mouse, but you can look like it, because when you get near the head, doesn't it just pull onto them? That concept, you can set all kinds of settings in that sense. You can set it so it only does it when you're right next to them, so it only does like a pixel autocorrect. You can do it where once you get onto them, it locks on and kills them, or it gives you no recoil at that point. A classic one, Maui was even referencing, this is what people suspected with No Cries, is a low FOV, field of view, what you can see on the screen, aimbot. Now, the reason why that is a clever invention is because a classic thing that fucked over people who used aimbots but not wall hacks is they would be like looking here and then they would want to aim Sometimes even just press the aim key to drag to see, is there someone behind this box here? Is there someone over there? And when they would click it, they'd fucked up because they didn't have a wall hack. There wasn't someone there, but there was the nearest enemy, which is what's going to pull to. That might be someone over here or behind them. And the bot would whoop. Think of a very recent clip from a certain other shooter game that was online like this. It would whoop, lock onto them or go really crazy. Or even worse, you're shooting someone here and it snaps like a 180 and kills the one behind you. Now, look, that is possible in theory if you're fucking Jet Li or something. But that's actually a really obvious way to give yourself away. The low FOV one only does it within this field of view, right? So it's only going to be if you're close that it'll shoot onto them. It'll never do the swing over here. So to a noob, does it snap onto this guy when they're watching the gate with an X-ray mode and they're seeing the people, why didn't he aim onto him when he pressed the key? Because they're way past that shit, you idiots. It's like viruses. The people who invent the new viruses, one, have the skill of the virus anti-virus coder, and they're always one step ahead because the antivirus coder, by definition, can't preempt everything that's going to happen. He has to wait till a method's invented, pioneered, and refined, and then he can study it and hopefully sometimes get leaks, and then decode and get his antidote to it, etc. So cheaters will always be one step ahead of anti-cheaters. It's also why VAC not catching someone doesn't tell you fucking anything, except they didn't use some really obvious noob cheat that's been online for years and you can just Google, basically. Then you've also got the ones where it's like, but he didn't go straight to the head, he went near it. Right, anyone who said that in that recent cheating incident in Call of Duty is a fucking cretin. One of the most famous things invented over 10 years ago for cheats is you can set an offset. So first of all, you can make it, it never goes to the head. Shout out Zontix one time, that's a joke. You know, I would not imagine he cheats. Then there's the idea of like, how about you offset it so it just moves near the head and then you aim the last little bit? That still be mega useful. That would be a bag away. If you don't know, back in games, I think it was Unreal Tournament, they had a key you could bind that would make your cross it instantly go to head height. So people who had amazing aim could cheat, press that key, it would go to head height, and then they would just snap onto the guy's head. It's not that it would go to his head, it would put the crosshair to head height, and then they'd really quickly move it over and shoot him. That's easier than doing both movements up and across to aim onto the person's head. So you have offsets. Then finally, maybe you're not using any wall hack, you're not using any aimbot, any aim assist whatsoever, maybe you just have a radar hack. Maybe you are in the scenario of the ROPS guy, you're winning all these crazy 1vXs because you have a phone next to you or you have a second monitor or you have something in the corner of your screen where you can just see a radar of where everyone is. And then if you're smart and then got some mechanical skill, you could play around that and win a billion potential clutches, couldn't you? I mean, by the way, one of the most famous people accused of cheating is obviously Flusher, who we know on land without cheats is one of the greatest players ever at Clutches and Orister. But that doesn't mean he didn't also use them in some other settings, either before people were scrutinising it or at home, does it? That's the point. Now, here's the key thing to say before I actually get to the philosophy. People seem to have this really reductive view of cheating that goes like this. It's a hard binary. There are players who are really good, which means they don't cheat. And there are players who suck who use cheats because they can't be good. You're missing a whole spectrum and world of people and motivations and impetuses as to why people would cheat. Because you're thinking like a noob because you're a casual and this is how people at your level would probably use cheats and their motivations. You're thinking a cheater is a loser who's trash at the game. He'd be nothing without cheats. But when he cheats, he's fucking God, and he's basically Don Corzemu. That is impossibly naive and incredibly reductive and simplistic. Nobody, by the way, like that, who's total trash, who uses any form of aimbot, etc., is going to be Don Corzemu, even with cheats, because the mouse movement won't look smooth. It won't be able to make it. No aimbot can ever make it not look blatant if you were really bad and you did that. And by the way, if you were bad and all you had is a wall hack, you'll never look like Don Corzemu or Robs. You can win a million 1vXs. It'll even look suspicious how you do that. You won't be picking them on cues, etc. Also, what you're not considering, and this is a key concept here, even though I'm not accusing this player of this, but you always have to leave a chance that this is going on. What if a good player, even a real pro and a LAN proven player who is clearly, provably very good on LAN, we assume without cheats, what if they online decided to cheat? What if it was really important to get into a tournament through a qualifier to make the LAN? What if their team's in trouble right now and they have a sixth man or a sub, or they're going to get replaced? And they think, you know what, I actually am an excellent player, but I've got a bit of bad form and I haven't had to be able to practice. I've got some things going on. Maybe I'll just do it to just have a few games where I top carry in a few online games that don't really mean anything, do they? You know, I'm a LAN player anyway. Just to stay in the team to get onto the roster if you're a trial player, etc. Or how about you're frustrated, you're doing badly, you think, my ego can't handle this. Shall I tell you a classic one? Actually, my boy Natu from Ents actually got fucked over from this way back in 1.6. He just played like a mean genius online clan based game. And the problem is, he knew someone on the other team, at least he suspected, was cheating. So he thought, well, fuck it. I'm an actual pro, mate. I'm not just going to let some dickhead cheat against me. Just in some like friend stack. And he popped on some cheats. And then he got banned from clan based like forever or 10 years or something mad because of that. Now, look, I say something mad. Look, he probably should be banned for that. But it was crazy because it also banned him from professional play on clan based, even though they weren't that big at the time. Then, how about in this case, how about to get attention? Cheat to get attention, then go legit. I mean, I just said that would be a very devious Kaiser Soze type thing, but it'd be pretty kind of cool way to do it, wouldn't it? Now, I can tell you, and I know this because I was there, Gandalf. I was there from the beginning of CS, and I knew the top pros at the time. And one thing people never, ever can get through their brains is, you know how I do talk shows and how I get info for videos and I do interviews with all these top pros throughout history, and they all say they know me on the reflections and have met me and talked. Can I not have those conversations? Can I not DM someone offline? Can they not talk to me on a call? Have I not been friends with some of these people? I know things that I've never been able to say on record. So I can tell you right now, I won't say who, there have been legendary Hall of Fame level players from NA and EU who have cheated. Now, I can't tell you the names because I don't have hard evidence. And also, those aren't my stories to tell. But I can tell you, especially like, by the way, things like in Cal Invite in the early 2000s, there were some games where some actual top LAN pros did the Naruto and were like, oh, I think this fucking guy's a cheat against me, this nobody guy on, let's say, Rival or Weekend Warrior. Fuck it, I'm going to cheat. I'll use a wall hack then. They can't ever catch me because I am this good. I mean, by the way, there was a famous one in EU in the 2000s, late 2000s, before he got onto MYM Sweden and became a top LAN pro and eventually one of the best AWPers ever. The Swedish player Delpan, it was notorious in the Swedish scene that everyone said he cheated. He had some really crazy clips, like some of the craziest shit I've ever seen. And in fact, I think he might even have been banned from like some online cops or something. And everyone said back then it was just the community opinion that he cheated. That's why he had to go the hard route of going through sort of a friend's team, as it were, at the semi-pro level, to get to where he got to in NYM late in the game, which I'll get to later. But this all now leads into, I think it's the heart of this video, the key food for thought, the philosophical point. So this is going to be about philosophy, language, and logic. So just because someone plays well in an environment where they can't cheat does not mean they are legit when they are unsupervised and or at home, no longer in that environment. Notice nowhere in this video or ever online have I ever said no cries cheats or even suggested it. I've never said anything that suggested the positive that he does cheat. I've never said that. All I've said is him going to the face-off offices does not prove he did not cheat at home. Now, within that, if you ask me, is it likely? I'd say it seems likely he didn't cheat at home if he's able to do it at the face-off offices. Right, I actually haven't watched his games much, but I trust the people in the scene who know what they're talking about and have a good eye for the game. Think about this analogy. If I say you can't prove someone has never robbed anyone, that does not mean I am saying they have robbed someone. I just can't prove they haven't. Now, I wouldn't put them in prison for that, as we'll get to. So when you have a court case where you have a jury trial and the jury, their verdict, where's the verdict, foreman? We find the defendant not guilty. When you find someone not guilty, listen to the exact phrasing of that verdict. You are not guilty. It is not, and nor is it similar, to saying we find him innocent. He is proven innocent. Those two things are, one, impossible, and two, are certainly not the case, nor are they what juries and trials try to do, by the way. That's not even within their remit or something they're attempting to do. If you don't know, when you are in one of those court cases, I've actually been to court and seen this happen, by the way, the judge will instruct the jury before they like go away and make their decision. He will say to them, it's not about your personal feelings. It's not about if you like this person. It's not about if you even think they did something or are a bad person. There has to be, beyond reasonable doubt, that it was proven he did it, and therefore convict him. Otherwise, you must acquit. They'll often say you must acquit. So what they basically mean is, even if you think he did it, and it's like, oh, I probably did, but there's not really evidence. They haven't really built like a case that's got, then you have to say not guilty, not innocent, because you could never say that. That would be outrageous to think you could. And that's not what the court is there for. The court is there to convict guilty people so they then can be punished and rehabilitated. Now, this is a key concept to understand, because it will allow you to be more precise in your language, which will actually safeguard your thinking and stop you making logical errors, jumping to conclusions, and potentially doing harm to other people. By the way, Cassad actually gave a banger example that was shocking at first, but I realised it's actually an amazing example, an analogy for this case. Let's say someone said, "Can you prove you aren't gay?" Well, you might think there's a way you could circumstantially do it, right? Well, of course he's not gay. This guy has a family. He has a wife. He has kids. He goes to church. You know, he's never given off any vibes that he was gay. He's never said he was gay. He denies he is. Now, the problem in that case is, have there not been famous cases like certain politicians and religious figures who said and did all those things, and it turned out the wife was a babe, or they wanted to have kids, but that they weren't actually someone who was heterosexual. The whole time they considered themselves gay and were having secret trysts or love affairs, or just actually, in certain cases, they maybe just didn't even publicise that they were gay and they had all alternate lifestyle. Has that not happened before? Of course it has. Think about that analogy and surely you'll understand what I'm saying. So I always say, in the case of what the most famous accused cheater in CSGO is actually Flusher, obviously, because he won majors after people accused him of cheating, and he'd already won a major before that, hadn't he? So I will never say that Flusher cheated. I'll never say he did it, because I have no hard evidence. And by the way, he can now never be caught, and it will never be proven if he did cheat. Whether he cheated or not is actually moot at this point in time. Now, I'll even say that's an area I fucked up, because in early CSGO, I did a Who is Delpan video when in early CSGO, he was coming around with that SK team. And I did say in that video, because that was the opinion of everyone in the CS 1.6 scene, I said he cheated, or I watched his clips I can't remember actually. Did I actually say, I think I said he cheated. I might have said he think he cheated. But anyway, the point is, if I indeed said he cheated, but I apologize to Delpan whether he cheated or not, I can't know that. I should only have said, I think he cheated. So no, listen very carefully. No cries playing well, and even the same at the face of the offices as he does at home, doesn't mean that he wasn't cheating when he was back home. Does it make it less likely? Well, yeah, that seems like a pretty reasonable assumption at this point in time. It's also moot beyond when he plays at home, right? So if he can prove that he can play legit, that doesn't mean he was legit at home, but it means that what he did at home isn't relevant to whether he can be a pro, unless you can catch him with some sort of hardware, some sort of software at home cheating. By the way, no anti-cheat has banned him, and maybe it never will. Also doesn't mean you don't cheat. By the way, even if an anti-cheat bans you, you can technically actually be innocent, and there could be a false positive. That happens with every sort of thing that scans and examines anything. You will get false positives. People have been banned in the past, if you don't know, not even from software or hardware, just from pros. This used to be how ESL did it. They'd have top admins and pros who just sort of knew what... I know that's a shop, because I can tell from the pixels, and I've seen a lot of shops. It was like that. I can tell you, ESEA, when I used to work with them, they just got some like the 3D players to tell you whether, is this guy cheating or not? Yeah, it's impossible you could hit an op shot. Like, they just banned the guy, and you have to make a new account and buy a new one. You know, nothing had ever caught him in the ESEA anti-cheat. So the key thing for me is this. If you can do it on another PC without cheats, then you can be a pro whether you cheated or not. Surely that's the biggest story and conclusion here, that there is a legit NA prospect who can do it without cheats and thus potentially go pro. You'll never get, you've got to really just accept you'll never get this. You'll never get an answer over if you cheated or not. I mean, by the way, even if you went home now and got VAC banned instantly, well, maybe now he thinks, well, I'm legit and I've proved that I don't cheat. You know what, fuck, I could use cheats now because no one would assume. See what I mean? It's such a minefield. Yes, we're going with what's the most likely outcome. But I'm talking about logic and philosophy here. By the way, none of us are cheat devs and none of us have any hard evidence, so we can never say he cheated. Now, in terms of cheat accusations themselves, this will be the last section. Semi-pros and amateurs, listen, it's up to you guys. Depends what your principles are, depends what you think is moral. If you want to accuse people because you think it's likely they did, or you think it's unlikely they could be that good, you do what you want to do, mate. I personally think, though, that at the top level, professionals, whether those are pros, industry figures, content creators, journalists, I would advise you to be very, very careful, because if you say the person cheated with no evidence and no way to know that, one, I think it's disingenuous, potentially dishonest, and also you could put a black mark on that person's career forever. What if they then didn't cheat, but they don't become a top pro and don't become Robson Zewu? They might get harassed forever because of that, or because you couldn't be precise with your language. Sure, some of it might happen anyway if you just say you think they cheat, but it's very key to say, I think, not that I know. I give you an example of when this could have happened. JW, multiple time major winner, I think he was even a major MVP winner, said that he thought Rops cheated during that thing before he went to the Face It offices. Now, that is incredibly ironic because JW himself at the beginning of CSGO was accused by some of the top Polish players, the one who went on into Virtus Pro, of cheating himself in an infamous Mill game, if you remember it back in the day. Now, if you're a journalist, though, I want to make this final point. You especially need to be really careful and precise with your language because, again, you are reporting the facts. That is a very key thing. You are not just giving your opinion. This isn't an op-ed or a column. You are reporting news, the facts, what is happening. And I'm going to show you an example just to highlight. This is actually going to be a future series, man. I'm going to call it like Sins of the Journalist or something. I'm going to start showing some of the nonsense and basically teach these fucking idiots live how you do journalism. So this site, CS2 News, which I follow because it has a lot of stuff that's going on in the scene. It's one of those ones that takes Telegram things and screenshots. Basically, it's never their news, seemingly. It's just other people's news reposted by them. Listen, you all like it when Jake Lucky and Slasher do it. Why can't they do it? So they posted this after the invite. They put, no cries, proved he is not a cheater and got himself an FPL invite. Rob Story V2 indeed. Now, my point was, that's impossible. You can't prove that he didn't cheat. That is nonsense. Like, all you can say is he proved he can play legit. He made it seem unlikely he cheats. He can now be a pro player. You can say any of these things. You can't say he proved he didn't cheat or he proved he's innocent. That is not something you can say or prove. That is not the case at all. I don't forget the people that support me. And in the case of this video, that would be Matt Pugnaccio Racula, Jason, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Tosh, Toucan, and you know who I'm always going to give the biggest shout out to, my boy Jerky's Minion. Do you want to ask a question for my video AMA? Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Maybe you want to find out who the next guest is on one of my interviews that I've already recorded but not yet released. Or maybe you want to take part in one of those fabled long-form discussions where you get to decide the topics. Well, if any of those perks or others tickle your fancy, simply click on the Patreon link in the description box below and put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today.